Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts College Football Podcast, your ticket to all things college football. Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? Join us as we talk college football from the national championship to college rivalries to bowl games to the Heisman Trophy to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12. ACC, and everything in between.
What is up? Welcome into the GSMC Football Podcast. It is a Friday, and I am Tom Doherty, your host, which means this is another college football edition of the GSMC Football Podcast, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Some more news to bring you from the cultural world. Just going to comment on some comments from coaches. We have some news out regarding Tua Tagovailoa. We have some stuff regarding the new QBs and some guys that are coming in and maybe following a model we've seen before. They're going to try and bring a program back to prominence, and we'll talk about that throughout the segment. So we'll probably just go segment by segment here as you look at the top line and the title. Scott Frost is up there, number one. Scott Frost, we'll start with him in the first segment as and then we'll go probably Tua in the second segment, new quarterbacks, third segment, and then we'll bounce around a little bit in the fourth segment. But in this first one, I want to say, I mean, we talked a lot about the whole thing with UCF taking the fact that they went 13-0 and running with it and extrapolating it as the fact that they won a national championship magically and made rings and made banners and had a parade and everything, which is great. And good for them, and the fact that maybe they should this should lead us into thinking that we could have a deeper playoff, more teams, cut down regular season games, get rid of these. I mean, there's a lot of contingencies. That's the problem, because with cutting down games in the regular season, you're probably the first ones to go are going to be these non-conference games. And whether you limit it to one or you have less divisional games, or I mean conference games, but some of these teams, I mean, depending on the year, will schedule a big school. Like, I know we talked about it on Wednesday when the fact that Alabama will be playing Texas coming up in 2022 and 23, they're going to have a home and home series. These things get scheduled way out in advance, obviously, and we also have teams that are going to be playing Akron or playing Toledo. Well, you know, those are just Ohio schools that I'm just thinking of the top of my head, but or playing East Carolina or something like that. So, or I mean, some teams are playing like Mercer or whatever, but that's what they play to start the season off, and they pay money to those programs. That's how those programs can get all their funding, by being basically doormats for the for these big programs to walk on and to get some reps to start off their season, a win to start off their season. So whether those are going to have to go by the wayside, it's going to be leading into the new age of getting more of these big non-conference games like the Texases and the Alabama's. I know where there's a couple teams though that play a non-conference game, like Notre Dame plays USC and Stanford every year, regardless of you're going to go this USC. That's big. It's a big point for them. As a selling point is for recruiting is the fact that that's why they get a lot of California kids, is because they're either going to go to Stanford or they're going to go to Los Angeles for Thanksgiving every year and play either USC or Stanford. So I think last year they went to Stanford. I can't remember, or maybe the year before. But They alternate every year, so it's a big selling point for them. So that to figure out how the Stanford and USC schedule gets mixed around, if they just play the all-conference games and they just play USC as their one non-conference game, that's how you're going to get more teams. I mean, it's all leading to get more teams into the College Football Playoff without adding more games to the schedule. I mean, how many games Alabama played? 12 regular season games. They played their Alabama didn't play in the conference title game, so they actually got a reprieve there. Georgia won't play. That's a better example. Georgia played all of their conference games. I mean, all their regular season 12. They played the SEC title game. It's 13. They played the first game of the CFP against Oklahoma. That's 14. And they played against Alabama. That's 15 games. So 15 games is the max right now. And that's with four teams. So if you make it to the College Football Playoff final, you're playing 15 games. Alabama played 14 because they did not play in their title game. So if you make it to the final and you played in your conference title game, that's max is 15 games. And in order to get that down and to get maybe a team like UCF in there, I guess. I mean, but did they finish? They finished. I mean, the max, I think they're not going to go more than eight teams in a playoff. They're not going to go more than eight teams in a playoff. I mean, I haven't even got to the whole topic of what Scott Frost is talking about. Basically, been ranting for about the fact that they need to expand the CFP teams in order to get these teams to shut up, basically, or I don't know. Saban's comments. I talked about them on Wednesday. The fact that this is exactly what Scott Frost is kind of touching on here. Obviously, he's very happy that they win the Peach Bowl. They get their undefeated season. Scott Frost said last year he eventually does leave. They did leave for Nebraska right after that, or already was going to leaving for Nebraska. But, I mean, Scott Frost, in response to what Nick Saban said earlier this week, when Nick Saban said that, you know, they could do basically whatever they want. Everybody has the ability to call themselves whatever they want, but, I mean, there's a difference between earning something and just putting a title on yourself. So Scott Frost responded by saying, quote, this was to KETV. Frost said that Alabama probably has one or two national championships they claim that weren't necessarily recognized by everybody. I mean, I don't really know what he was talking about there. I know that Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser had their whole talk about it on PTI yesterday. But this is really interesting how these coaches are kind of just going back and forth, and the fact that I mean, they said not all these titles. I mean, Alabama has 17 national titles that they've claimed, and not all of them are quote unquote what did he say recognized by everybody. So I mean, I don't know what he meant there. Whether it's the fact that B's the BCS, or is that a comment on the BCS? Because I mean, they've won two national championships now through this playoff, and they've also won them without the playoff. So what's he really getting at here? I know that Saban, he was quoted in saying, like I said, self-proclaimed is not the same as actually earning it. So that's very true. I don't really know what Frost is talking about when he's bringing up things regarding Alabama self-proclaiming themselves as champions. I mean, it's a whole other argument whether you think they should have been in the College Football Playoff last year after not even winning their conference. But they were an at-large team. They're a team that had the talent in order to get in there, even though they didn't win their conference. They lost to Auburn, didn't get into that SEC championship game, but they came out. They put an absolute beatdown on Clemson, a good Clemson team, the number one team in the nation, and then they come back and beat Georgia trailing, and they beat them in the last play of the game. So, I mean, Alabama, obviously, they did reach the 17 titles, but, I mean, I don't really get what Scott Frost is really doing. I mean, they've only Saban in his time there, they've only had one team that's been undefeated that won a title. They play in a championship game every year. There's not like they don't play in a national championship game. It's just like, oh, they were the number one seed at the end of the year, they win. I mean, that's kind of what they did at the past. There wasn't really a quote unquote national championship game. You'd basically get your invite of what bowl to go to, and if you won that bowl and you stayed undefeated, then yeah, you'd be voted as the number one team in the nation. You'd win the national championship. They would basically create a national championship game with these bowl invitations. They wouldn't just it would still be called the Orange Bowl, or it'd be called the Rose Bowl or Sugar Bowl, whatever it may be. So that's what they did way back in the day before the BCS and everything, where they called the bowl championship series was created, and they have a national championship game that you are invited to. The first two top two teams in the league or in the nation make that game. Obviously we know what's been changed since. So as far as Scott Frost, obviously he's got some work to do when it comes to his job in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now he's going to be over in the Big Ten, dealing with the Big Ten West. And I mean, we've talked about Nebraska when we went through our conference by conference thing. I mean, by as you go look at those episodes from last week, I went Big Ten and I went Big Ten, Pac 12. I did everything. We did Big 12, ACC, Pac 12, Big Ten, SEC. I think I did ACC and Big Ten at the same time because I wanted to go coast to coast. But looking at Nebraska and their schedule for this season, I think Scott Frost has got some bigger things to worry about coming up through the season. He's got to figure out, obviously, the quarterback situation there at Nebraska. I mean, they got, speaking of Akron, they play Akron to start the season. They go home against Akron, home against Nebraska, I mean, home against Colorado, that is, and then home against Troy. So a couple of cupcake games. Colorado is a bit tough. They're a Big Ten school. I mean, Pac-12 school. And then they start their Big Ten schedule with the road game against Michigan. Not easy. Got to play Jim Harbaugh. Just right off the bat, that'll be a big game. Then you got home against Purdue. You go to Washington. I mean, to go to Wisconsin, that is, against Paul Christ, the defending division champions in your division, the West. That'll be a big game. If they get that one, they have a chance to win the division. That's a road game. They play again on the road against Northwestern. So you have two road games against the two top teams in the division last year. Both your road games to start off the season, other than Michigan, are against the two top teams in your division. So, yeah, I think Scott Frost, you got a little more to worry about than what Nick Saban has to say about your former employer, your former program that you're not even coaching anymore. I mean, you left them. You could have stayed there. And actually, I mean, do you think that it would have been, I mean, honestly, I would have left as well. You know, saying you should have stayed there. He said he could have stayed there if he wanted to, but he shouldn't have. He made the right decision for sure to go to a team where, I mean, if you're 13-0 with Nebraska, you probably have a chance to get into the college football playoff because it's Nebraska. It's just a different program. It's a different conference. You'd win the conference, obviously, even if you probably were 12-1 with a win in the Big Ten championship game, you'd have a chance to get into the CFP. And especially with this season, I mean, their strength of schedule is insane. I mean, look at this schedule. Their road games, I think I probably ranted about this a lot in the show when I did the Big Ten. This is crazy. They have road games. Talk about a tough schedule to start off your career at a school. I mean, this could go badly for Scott Frost very quickly. I mean, they have their road games this year are at Michigan, at Wisconsin, at Northwestern, at Ohio State, at Iowa. Their only real good home game, I mean, all their home games, though, are against teams that should beat Purdue, Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan State. That'll be a good game. It'll be a tough game. It's November 17th, second to last. So that's their last home game. That'll be senior day in Nebraska, so before they go play Iowa on the road, but to finish off the year. Scott Frost, you got bigger things to worry about. I don't really get why you are all butthurt about the fact that Nick Saban is making comments about your school. That is really, they actually, Nick Saban's not wrong at all. I don't know where, if you're wrong or not. I can go look in the record books and see really if there's one or two, why you're saying one or two different championships that were not recognized by everybody. What? How was it not recognized by everybody? This year, if anything, this year may have like some sort of notion because you think they shouldn't even got into the cultural playoff to begin with, but they did. They beat the number one team in the nation, avenged their loss in the year before, and then they went and beat a very, 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 very talented Georgia team. Very talented Georgia. Obviously, they almost lost to Georgia. I mean, I thought that they honestly, I thought that the Alabama would win that game going away with the three, I mean, what was this line? Three points or something like that. But they had to, or 6 points, they had to win that game in the last play. I mean, we all saw it. We all saw the walk-off touchdown. They win the game in the last play. So Scott Frost, obviously Alabama earned this one this year. I don't know. We'll go look back in the day and see what's the deal here with Alabama and their 1-2 titles that aren't recognized by everybody. Maybe the Bear Bryant back in the, I mean, yeah, weirdo. Go deal with the five tough road games you have this season. Yeah. I just said them all. Michigan, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Ohio State, Iowa. You got all those teams on the road. All very good programs. Go win a couple of those games in your first season there in the Big Ten. So we'll see what you can do come this fall. All right. We'll come back with some thoughts. There's news out. Tua Tagovailoa. I don't want to bring it out too soon, but he may not have been in the Crimson Tide uniform. We don't know. We'll see it. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back here, GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition of this show today. As we have some news out today that Tua Tagovailoa actually was considering transferring before that game against Georgia. He was said he would have transferred. He is saying now, there's reports that he would have transferred from Alabama if Nick Saban had not decided to put him in against that game against Georgia. So whether he probably thought that Jalen Hurts would have gotten a chance, if Jalen Hurts had won that game for them, obviously Jalen Hurts would have been the starter for them coming in to this season. But right now, obviously that did not happen. Obviously Tua won that game for them in the last play, got them back in the game throughout that whole second half. But then now is going to be battling, or I mean, I don't know what the Nick Saban. It's all in Nick Saban's head. Obviously, he's got to make the decision himself. But to decide if Tua is going to be his starter going forward, I think Tua is the better passer. Tua is the better manager in the huddle, or whatever they do if they huddle or calling it on as they go, no huddle in college. But I think Jalen Hurts is more of a runner. He's definitely more elusive than Tua is when it comes to the running quarterback runs. But Tua is just a better passer all around. I think Tua he throws a better ball. He leads runners, receivers better. He reads defenses better, and everything. So the fact that Tua was going to come out and is coming out now and saying already that he would have left if he didn't play in that game. I mean, we'll see. Maybe Nick Saban knew that. It's like, well, we'll see. Maybe that shortened the leash a little bit for Jalen Hurts in that game, because obviously he was not looking good at all. He had maybe a couple good runs. Didn't really have many good throws in that game at all. Had some good runs, but was having trouble getting the ball, driving the ball down the field. Tua, not so much. Tua came right in there and started slinging it. So obviously, like, there is still a decision to be made. We'll see if. I mean, we've already heard that Jalen Hurts is going to be transferring, or going to decide if he's going to, will likely be transferring if he does not get the job this fall. Both these guys are definitely talented enough to run their own offenses, or to lead their own offenses at their respective whatever school they decide to go to. Whether, I mean, Well, I don't know. I don't think Tua probably is completely committed to not transferring, at least. Because he thinks that if he doesn't get the job this season, he might. I wouldn't be surprised if he transfers. He hasn't come out and said it like Jalen has. But, I mean, this whole – all this news now saying that he was frustrated that he wasn't going to wasn't playing. He probably knew that he's better skill level when it comes to quarterbacking, at least just in general, than Jalen Hurts is, and he wants to get on the field. And I think that I would not be surprised, based off of these comments, that if he does not get the job this fall either, that he'll be gone too, because he can get a school that in a hot minute, and he's only a freshman. He could sit out for that sophomore year and then play for two more years after that, or three. So, I mean, he can that would not be a bad thing for him at all. So not deciding where he's going to go, where he would go, and the same thing with Jalen Hurts as well, because, I mean, honestly, I think one of them is gone. Whoever doesn't start is gone, honestly. The fact that Tua coming out and saying that if he didn't play in the national championship game after not playing all year, and if he didn't play against Georgia, he would have left. If he doesn't play this season at all after what he did in that game, he's gone. If he was going to be like, oh, I only played X amount of snaps, or I don't think he played probably like 15, 20 snaps in the regular season in garbage time because he wasn't the starter, or if there was ever a time where Jalen Hurts was dinged up and couldn't play during segments, parts of games. But Tua came in, had nice stats during that his time, but then was on the didn't play against Clemson. Well, maybe at the end of the game he did play against Clemson. That was a blowout. But based off of these comments, I mean, I think that he would definitely leave if he wasn't the starter this season, just like Jalen would. And this is kind of saying the same thing. That Jalen came out and straight up said it. His dad said the same thing. I think Nick Saban also understands it too. The fact that these guys want to play, and the fact that if they don't get a chance to play, they're not afraid of moving on. And I mean, Tua was quoted in saying in this ESPN article saying that even throughout my football season, I wasn't the starter. I wanted to leave the school, so I told myself if I didn't play in the last game, which was a national championship game, I would transfer out. If I gave in, I don't think I would have seen the end blessing of where I am now. So I don't know what he means by if I gave in. Would I gave in to the program or gave in to whatever? I mean, it's just it's kind of weird. That's weird. I know that Lane Kiffin had his thoughts. Obviously, Lane Kiffin down at in Florida playing for, coaching for that school in Florida. So he I'll think of it. Florida Atlantic FAU. There we go. I'm thinking. I knew there was a U in there. FAU Florida Atlantic. But he came out and said the same a similar thing. He was on the Dan Patrick show and said that really know what's going on would tell you that Tua was leaving if he hadn't played and played well in the game. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, he wanted to get on the field. Obviously, he's still a freshman. I mean, you know, there's an order to things, but I guess obviously with all these, there's so many options out there. If you're not really dead set on playing in Alabama, you want to play. If playing, getting on the field is more important than playing for Alabama, then obviously you could find a different place to go and you'll get on the field for sure. And I think Jalen Hurts is starting to figure that out as well, as he's getting to a point here where he'll likely. I mean, honestly, I think Tua won the job back when he won that game. I think it's kind of a conversation. The competition's already kind of over in my mind. I think Tua won that job. Obviously, he's got to stay healthy, but I think he definitely won that. Should be thought as the number one job when he gets a choice. When it comes to the choice there. So, I mean, it's just kind of weird how it's working. As far as going back a little bit from that first segment, I was kind of, everything's kind of just, it's all mumbo jumbo. I think that we still obviously have to wait and seeing what it's saying here, obviously. So, I mean, I know that now we can, I want to kind of go back what we were talking about before with the whole Scott Frost stuff and talk about this, kind of pettiness versus, I mean, the Alabama UCF. The fact that now, I mean, honestly, UCF can do whatever they want. I have to give UCF a pass. I can't stop talking about this because it's hilarious. Seeing a school with a pedigree like Alabama lower themselves. I mean, no offense to UCF. Yes, Blake Bortles is fine. That's probably your best guy. He got to an AFC championship game. Probably should have won that game. Tom Brady does not complete a 4th-and-18. But this is pretty funny, the fact that you have UCF, a school that they didn't win a game 1 year, and they came back and went undefeated the next year. So obviously they have a big beef starting. So it started this whole timeline, this whole order of things that happened, obviously ending with the coaches finally getting involved and having to have their comments. I don't know what the deal with Nick Saban is. I mean, I think Nick Saban's not wrong, but he didn't really have to say what he said. He's Alabama. He just go sit in your ivory tower, Nick, and be the coach of Alabama. Be the best recruiter in the world. Do whatever you want. The coach that isn't even there anymore. But looking through, I mean, obviously UCF beats Auburn actually in that Chick-fil-A Bowl. So that's why they think. I mean, that's a big deal. The fact that they beat Auburn, because Auburn beat Alabama. So they think the transitive property works in sports, which it absolutely does not. It absolutely does not work in sports. It does not work that way. It's called Any Given Sunday or Any Given Saturday. There's a movie about it too. I mean, the transitive property does not work in sports. People trying to do it all the time. Oh, you beat them and we beat them, so we're better than them. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, so UCF says, "Oh, we beat Auburn, and Auburn beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl." But okay, transitive property again. Georgia beat Auburn in the national championship game, SEC championship game. Then Alabama just beat Georgia. So does that even things out for you, transitive property people? Obviously, right after that happened, UCF beat Auburn. Obviously, it was before the national championship game. Anyways, it was on January 1st. The Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl was, and UCF beat Auburn 34-27. The athletic director, Danny White, comes out and says, "National champs, undefeated." Doesn't even miss a beat on that, obviously. He did not miss a beat. They come out with a picture with the national champions, a picture with Shaquem Griffin holding up the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl trophy, perfection achieved, all that stuff. Obviously, there was interviews. I mean, the national championship game wasn't even until January 6th, so there was a whole five-day period where UCF could basically go and say whatever they wanted. There was reports out, obviously, saying that they were going to be raising this banner, having a parade and everything. It's pretty funny. They were really calling out and kind of just like, I just feel like it's like a little kid grabbing onto his dad's leg. UCF's obviously the kid. Alabama's the dad in the leg. They're just holding on for dear life. It's like, I'm here. You can try and walk with me on your leg. I'm a big lump. And they had about 5 days to really hold on and do what they want and get their grip hold on and create this whole narrative that's lasted 5 months now. And it's finally coming to fruition with coaches getting involved this week and saying what they have to say 5 months later. So obviously UCF doing what they wanted to do. Alabama wins the national championship on January 6th. And all the quotes come out after that. Nick Saban didn't really give UCF at that time. He kind of did the right thing and was focusing on his own team and didn't really give the UCF team any due diligence or anything until this week, obviously, when he came out and doubled down basically on what he was saying before, saying that they could do whatever they want. They didn't earn anything though. Of course, UCF comes out and has a championship parade. I mean, they're UCF is Central Florida. Why don't you look up and see where UCF is? Where is University of Central Florida? Is it near Orlando? You think it's near Orlando? Because I could bet you it's either in Orlando or it's near Orlando. Because it's in Orlando. Look at that. They had a parade in their backyard at Walt Disney World. I mean, shocker. Shocker, shocker. So UCF had the parade the day after Alabama wins the national championship. UCF has their championship parade with all these guys. Obviously, Shaquem Griffin's a great story. But they, of course, they think that they can go beat Alabama because of the transitive property, even though there's more stuff involved. Georgia beat Auburn. You beat Auburn. Oh, so does that mean you're equal to Georgia because you both beat Auburn, or an Auburn beat Alabama, but then Georgia lost to Alabama. So what? Alabama also beat the number one team in the nation in Clemson. And believe me, I'm not an Alabama fan whatsoever. I mean, I remember seeing when on January 8th when Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, declared there was a when you have to go to your governor. Alabama didn't go to the governor of Alabama to get the national championship ratified or whatever they did. The official proclamation from the Florida governor, great. This season's best college football team will be recognized as the 2017 college football national championships champions in Florida. Great. Good for you. I'm sure the University of Florida was probably laughing at that too, because they've actually won real national championships. Urban Meyer has the silver, the crystal footballs there with his name on them. There, well, I don't know about name on them, but they have the footballs there at Florida. So he won twice with Tim Tebow, obviously. And then, of course, the best part of it all, honestly, the best part of it all was when UCF got clever and they had some fans got together and put up a billboard in Tuscaloosa and congratulating Alabama and asking for a home-and-home series with UCF. And if Alabama is smart, they'd freaking schedule that thing in about 3 seconds to show them. Or not. I mean, honestly, it's kind of chicken. I mean, you're playing chicken with them. So either you schedule it with them and you beat them down twice, or, I mean, you're obviously getting an opportunity. You might play right into their hand. I don't think. I think you could go in there and show them what you got. So if you're Alabama, I mean, I don't know about shying away from things, but it's decisions there. Obviously, they decided to schedule that home-and-home with the University of Texas, which is probably a little better press and a little better hubbub, a little better media coverage for that game in about 4 years from now. All right, we'll come back in the next segment. We're going to do some talk on the new quarterback. I know there's a quarterback at Baylor that's going to shake things up, so we'll talk about that when we come back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition. I have been Tom Doherty, your host, as we get into the second half of the show to now today. With the third segment, talking about the new quarterback at Baylor. And they call him the Mayfield model. This is Charlie Brewer coming in to be the quarterback at Baylor. And I just wanted, This is how college football, I guess, is going to go. I mean, we'll see how Mayfield does in the NFL. Obviously, we're going to get a really good look at how he actually starts in training camp. As the announcement now, the Cleveland Browns will be the team that Hard Knocks will be featuring. The Hard Knocks on HBO, definitely be watching that coming up this summer over during the training camp. So that's going to be pretty fun seeing that. But as far as these quarterbacks in college, I mean, obviously there are some prototypes coming out, some more NFL guys. We had a lot of, obviously, this was a great quarterback draft in the past. I don't know if Baker was the best quarterback. He may have been the best accurate quarterback just in general. I don't know about talent, about size and just talent when it comes to that, but obviously we need to see what the deal is when it comes to when it comes to these smaller quarterbacks, obviously, and these guys that like to run around. Obviously, we had the Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield comparisons. I think those were a little misfounded, or a lot misguided, as you should say. There's some people who are like, oh, if people who compare Johnny Manziel to Baker Mayfield, A, haven't watched some football, B, haven't watched Baker Mayfield's tape, and C, haven't talked to Baker Mayfield ever in their life. And, I mean, that's probably, I mean, that's mostly true, probably. I don't know. I'm going to get into this stuff with Charlie Brewer in just a second, but I just wanted to comment on the fact that, I mean, there is a prototype. There is a type of quarterback we like to see in the NFL. There's like quarterback we like to see translate from college to the NFL. Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, even Josh Allen were those prototypes. Baker Mayfield was a little bit shorter, but he obviously does have a skill set and was the first pick for a reason. Obviously, really impressed John Dorsey enough to use his first pick on him. So when he had the pick of the litter, as pretty much, I think he might end up regretting that. I think Josh Rosen might single-handedly go make him regret that by trying to torch him this season. But I mean, I don't know who. I know it's a college football show, but we're trying to compare here and look at these quarterbacks in college and how they're translating to the NFL. We'll see as we look at the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to look at their schedule really quick for Baker Mayfield, because I bet you he's going to be a starter. Don't tell me that they're going to... I mean, they pick him first overall. We'll see how he goes through. Obviously, he's going to be... he's going to be in a big media on TV all the time and everything when it comes to... Especially being on Hard Knocks. I mean, I could have told you... I would have put so... You know how much money I would have put on if the fact that... I mean, the bet... If there was a bet that Hard Knocks was going to be the Browns. Obviously, you can narrow it down with the criteria you have for the NFL when it comes to teams that are required to be on Hard Knocks, or have an option to be on Hard Knocks. Like, you can't have a... Basically, if you haven't made the playoffs within, I think, 2 or 3 years... and then if you don't have a first year head coach, or if you haven't been on Hard Knocks within the last like 4 or 5 years as well, so you're exempt. If you have a new head coach, if you've been to the playoffs within the last 2 years, or if you've been on Hard Knocks within the last 3 or 4 years, you don't have to, you're exempt basically. All the other teams are not exempt. So basically, those teams were like the Niners. I think the Ravens were on there. The Browns, the Jets were on there because they don't have a new coach that made the playoffs. But I bet you Baker Mayfield's on this team. They got 2 first-round picks. Obviously, they got 2 guys you really can highlight. Also, I mean, who was that guy? The guy, Denzel Ward from Ohio State's another great name. Great guy they'll be looking at, I'm sure, a lot during this Hard Knocks season. But, I mean, these preseason games, they're going to be against Giants. They're playing the Bills, Eagles, Browns. Are playing each other and the Lions in the preseason, so we'll get those during Hard Knocks. But then looking at their season schedule that actually matter, we'll see if Baker actually is going to be playing Week 1 against the Steelers at home. And they have Saints on the road, play the Raiders on the road, they play the Bucks on the road. Obviously, they play all their division. I mean, their division is tough as it is. Obviously, they had to play the Steelers twice, playing the Bengals twice, and playing the Ravens twice. They do host the Chiefs. That'll be interesting. And then Texans as well. And they have to go to Denver. So we'll see if that we'll see what happens there when it happens on happens coming up the season. So, I mean, going back to the whole prototype with Baker, are we going that way with the NFL? Hopefully not, because I like the tall quarterback, the guy that could drive down the field. We'll see how Baker does. I mean, just against that schedule I just said, we'll see. Even if he plays this season, I'd be honestly would not be surprised if he. I wouldn't be surprised either way. It's the Browns. I'd probably be more surprised if he doesn't start at all. I don't think he started. There's really no way he sits out the entire season. I don't think he's good enough to, I think, impress the coaches enough to where they'll give him a chance at some point, whether it is to start the season or it is to it'll be coming in. I think if you really would have him start the season and see how he does, and then maybe put in Tyrod if he's really struggling, and then go from there. But it looks like that we'll see what happens, obviously, coming in. But as far as back to college, obviously, Baylor is getting a quarterback in I mean, they're getting a new quarterback in Charlie Brewer coming out of the same high school. I mean, not the, I don't know, it's the exact same high school that that Baker went to, but Lake Travis High School in Austin has been a guy. Been a school that produces a lot of good quarterbacks for Power Five schools, and has four Power Five starting quarterbacks in the last 10 years. So, obviously, this is definitely a guy that can make a difference, and he's going to be going to Baylor and playing in the Big 12, just like Baker Mayfield did. And that's definitely a conference that can make your stats look pretty good. So we'll see how Charlie Brewer does down there in Waco. But going off that whole Baker Mayfield model, I mean, the whole thing is that, yeah, you can be as elusive as you want in the pocket. You could run. You could do whatever you want, but you have to be accurate. Baker was accurate. That's the one thing about him. It's that you can't knock his accuracy. The guy could throw the ball. He could sling it down the field, and he would actually really hit those guys in rhythm as well. So, obviously, he's got to figure something out here when it comes to the NFL, translating it to the NFL. But when it comes to Charlie Brewer at Baylor, we'll see if he can imitate what's going to be going on. Obviously, he was supposed to be going, as he did flip his commitment. He was supposed to be going to a different school, but obviously changed his mind. I mean, it's been a while. Obviously, this is a guy who was very highly touted at high school and has won state championships down at Lake Travis. So, at least gotten through to the quarterfinal. I mean, this was, if he won the state championship, obviously led the team to the state championship game. So they flipped it back when he was probably a senior in high school, junior in high school in 2016. So he's obviously a highly touted guy and is going to be, considered a pro-style quarterback. I mean, 24/7 Sports does all these evaluations of quarterbacks. I mean, he's 6'1", just like Baker is. You call him a pro-style quarterback, but he probably will. He obviously will run around a little bit. Did play with Baylor. So he's coming. He's not a freshman. He's coming into his sophomore season. Played last year. Did start one game through five touchdowns. Was 51 for 76. I mean, pretty good with completions to attempts. So 67% completion percentage. But with Baylor, obviously, you saw Bryce Petty down there do really well. Obviously, Robert Griffin III, who's talented, won a Heisman Trophy. You can get some good weapons if you can get some good receiving weapons, the way that offense is created, the spread offense there. With Baylor, obviously the new head coach, they've obviously had to overhaul their head coaching since their success back with Robert Griffin due to some off the field stuff that happened with Art Briles. But obviously something to be looking forward to as I look at the Baylor schedule coming up for this season, that Charlie Brewer will have to navigate through the Big 12. Not quite the gauntlet that the Big Ten is, depending on obviously when and where you have to play Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. So it looks like they're going to be opening up against. So they have a couple cupcake games start of the season. They play at home against ACU, then they come back and go to University of Texas San Antonio before coming home and hosting Duke for another their ACC Big 12 matchup. So that's the Big Five. That's kind of a thing now we're getting into, is these Power Five conferences are playing each other to start off the season. So it's pretty cool how they're doing that. But so they're going to play Duke at home, and they're going to have Kansas at home. So it started off pretty good, but then they have to go to Oklahoma. So it'll be a quick test. So they have Kansas at home. Should be able to handle that one, but they'll have a quick test. And as Brewer will go to, they're saying his prototype, his twin, kind of like the Baker Mayfield model, will be going and playing against Baker's old team, the Oklahoma Sooners in Norman. So then that'll be the first big road game for them of the season before they come back home for Kansas State. They go at Texas, at West Virginia. So that'll be tough, honestly. It'll be tough sledding for him. You got at West Virginia, at Oklahoma, at Texas, at Iowa State, at Texas Tech. You don't have to, I mean, they do play Oklahoma State at home. So you do have a couple little reprieve there, but definitely not an automatic win, as Oklahoma State, they have to replace their quarterback too. That's the one thing. I think the only school that really has a big quarterback returning is West Virginia, with Will Grier coming back to be the quarterback of the Mountaineers. So we'll see how Baylor has. I mean, you have to keep an eye on Charlie Brewer going through this season, going through the training camp as well. See how he is looking. I don't know what his spring football how he was doing. The spring football wasn't really a big story. Any big stories coming out of Baylor spring football? But definitely a guy to think about and to look forward to this season, as he has obviously had some snaps under his belt this off season, or during this season. But he looks like he was having a bit of some injury issues, but was able to get through and be cleared for spring practice, and was cleared to do all drills, as he was having a little shoulder injury, but is doing all right. Obviously doing his freshman year, but all rehabbed up and looks to get going for this season. All right, we'll come back with the probably maybe a little more talk on Mr. Brewer, Charlie Brewer, down there at Baylor, or kind of bounce around college football news, as we're going to finish up this week with the last segment today. So stay tuned. We are back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, welcome back for the final segment of the day today. Final segment of the week, for me at least, as we'll come back on Monday for another edition of this football podcast, the college football edition, as well as if you're a baseball fan as well. I know football can be a little dragging along here, as it is the off season. Always have to talk about, though. But if you're a baseball fan as well, I do a baseball show. I do record it right before this show on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays as well. That's a little more interesting, maybe, because the fact that there's actually games going on and stuff to talk about at all times. So we'll get into that. Maybe if you want to go, want to get into that now. Go over to the baseball podcast after you're done listening to me today. So JSMC Baseball Podcast. All right. So just let me play a shortened segment today finish it off, as there's not much to bring up, as we kind of touched on everything through college football. I know there's some news of a transfer. Blake Barnett, who was actually a guy who went to Alabama and started Alabama, did transfer over to Arizona State and then graduated, and then now has enrolled at Florida. Has enrolled now at South Florida. So this is a guy who's kind of bounced around. He's going to play obviously for the Bulls this season because of this the rule that you can. You can transfer as a graduate and play without having to sit out. So remember, we went over that a couple episodes ago to talk about that. He did finish the season at Alabama. He did get a few snaps, went 11 for 19 for 219 yards and two touchdowns. Didn't look like he did much at Arizona State, but it looks like that obviously they had some interesting, obviously, to play. Yeah, he played a backup role last year to Manny Wilkins and just attempted a handful of passes. So he looked like he looked to get another option, another shot to get going on South Florida. Yeah, University for the Bulls, University of South Florida down there in Miami. In South Beach in Miami. So, or in Tampa. So yeah, they'll go and figure that out as they go on, as well as just looking around here. Obviously, there's some more transfers. We had a cornerback, former Nick Harvey, a cornerback from Texas A&M, transferring over to South Carolina. Announced that he's again graduated from A&M and will be eligible to play as a graduate transfer over at the University of South Carolina. So that'd be good playing for the Gamecocks. Pretty cool. Interesting transferring, letting him transfer within the conference too. It's kind of not very common to be able to do that. All right. Looking at some other stuff, as we have some guys that are always there's always new crop of guys, and we like to compare them to the previous people that went ahead of them. So I'm just going to list. I know ESPN likes to come out with lists and everything. All these big, I don't know, call them like copycats or clones or twins or whatever. Obviously, we talked about the Baker Mayfield clone and the fact that there's a couple of them. Trace McSorley is one of them for sure at Penn State. Obviously, one of the big guys coming back this season to play and maybe fight for that Heisman Trophy. As well as Oregon, there's definitely they have a quarterback named Justin Herbert. He's a guy who you'll see a lot of the Sam Darnold pieces in him. Obviously, it's not going to make the scouts really turn their heads or really fall in love with him. Kind of the thing with Darnold was kind of like, you know, B plus at everything. He can do everything, but he's not really amazing at everything. And they both were. I mean, these guys are pretty interesting. The fact that, I mean, Darnold was a little bit shorter. Herbert 6'6", Darnold only 6'3", 6'4". Both guys were three sport athletes in high school. I mean, and they actually have very similar stats in college as well. So it's pretty interesting how that works. Will Greer, obviously, is a guy I've talked about a lot on this show. He is kind of that Mason Rudolph makeup, big, tall, stand in the pocket, throw the ball down the field. Needs to work on accuracy a little bit more, but could also put up some big numbers this season. We've looked at West Virginia's West Virginia's schedule back when we did the Big 12. Obviously, playing the Big 12 is going to help, as always it does with quarterbacks. Will Greer should put up some big numbers this season, as he did throw for just shy of 3,500 yards and 34 touchdowns last season. That was in 10 games that he played while healthy. So, I mean, looking at West Virginia's schedule for this season, I mean, they play at Tennessee with the SEC Big 12 matchup. Then they play Youngstown State before going to NC State with so they have a couple different Power 5 conference crossovers before they start their Big 12 schedule, where they play home against Kansas State to torch them. Texas Tech on the road, that'll be a high-scoring shootout. Kansas at home, torch them. Iowa State, that'll be a good game. Baylor, that'll be a fun game to watch. As I talked about, remember, Baylor has to go travel to West Virginia, to Morgantown to play them on October 25th. They play at Texas. West Virginia does at Texas before they come home for TCU. That'll be a fun game. Kenny Hill and Will Greer before they go to Oklahoma State. And then finishing up with two Oklahoma teams, so they get to gear up and get ready for those Oklahoma. So hopefully everybody stays healthy for those two Oklahoma games. They play at Oklahoma State in Stillwater and before they go back home and host West Virginia. Moving off the quarterbacks, there is definitely a Saquon Barkley comparison out there this year, a guy who could be fighting for the Heisman Trophy, if they can get back into that running back name. As Bryce Love at Stanford, if he can stay healthy, the guy, I mean, this was a guy who would come in, come out last year because he was nursing some leg injuries, but it's definitely a guy who can make a difference. It's definitely a big home run hitter, just like Saquon Barkley at Bryce Love at Stanford. Some more guys, Miles Gaskin at Washington. I mean, very similar to Sony Michel, elusive, smaller running back. I mean, there's a couple of guys with the acronyms. DJ Moore was the guy that actually was the first quarterback. I think he was the first receiver taken this year by the Panthers, 24th pick overall. AJ Brown at Ole Miss is very similar. Joey Bosa's brother, Nick Bosa, is at Ohio State, and he's a defensive end, and he's actually drawn a lot of comparisons to Bradley Chubb. Maybe a guy who could even be compared to his own brother, obviously Joey was picked with the third pick overall in 2016. Bradley Chubb picked fifth overall this year, so, which was actually kind of surprising, as some people thought, many thought that he was going to go fourth to the Browns when he dropped to them. All right. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple other guys. Obviously, there's still guys like Ed Oliver at Houston. He's very similar to Daron Payne. They're a defensive tackle, big guy in the middle, can really bust through that line. Same thing with Dexter Lawrence, who can be compared to Vita Vea. I mean, these guys are all big defensive linemen, just like to run, gobble up running backs and play the go rush the passer. Same thing. Both all those guys, and I want to see what Vita Vea can do. The guy from Washington, Daron Payne, also a big guy. Obviously, from you saw him in the college football playoff, just wrecking offensive lines for Alabama. We'll see what Ed Oliver can do. Both those guys, Dexter Lawrence, also a big guy. I was talking about there staying with Christian Wilkins there at Clemson. Those two young guys, Dexter Lawrence being one of them. There on the line for Clemson. Then one more in the secondary is Greedy. His name is Greedy Williams. What's a better name for a cornerback than Greedy Williams? He's greedy. He wants the football. He's ball hawk. And Jaire Alexander, was the first round pick for the Packers. So he's that's the guy we can compare him to. Greedy out there for LSU can maybe get greedy and go get some interceptions. All right, that'll wrap it up for the show today. We're going to cut it short just a tad as I've run out of time. No, it's okay. We're always here to talk football, but just we're going to wrap it up for the show today. Let the weekend happen. Get some more stuff coming out for us to talk about on Monday, and then we'll do that when we come back Monday morning, and you guys can listen. Like I said, if you're also baseball fans out there across the nation, baseball is going on right now. It's in full swing. So go over and look and listen to the baseball show and GSMC baseball podcast as well. So thanks for listening today, and everybody have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.